This is the place to play with the most powerful principles of manifestation in the quantum field on a daily basis. This is Sanctuary of She, Soul, Human, Energy. And I'm your host, Katie Blair. We're a podcast, an app, and a community where women meet the version of themselves they came here to be and build the lives they came here to live. Welcome to this moment. Welcome to your sanctuary. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited because we have the first interview in quite a while for you today. And today I'm bringing on Kara Mayhew. And first, I just can't wait to tell you about her. But Kara, hi, welcome to the Sanctuary of She podcast.
Hello. Thank you so, so much for having me. And this is such a full circle moment. And I can't tell you how many times I've had you in my earbuds walking down by the river. And now here I am with you. So thank you. Thank you.
Oh my God. I love that so much. So Kara is, I'm just going to read you a little bio so that you can get an insight into who she is and what we're going to be talking about today. And then I'm going to kind of tell you how this episode came to be. So Kara is a new mama and she's a wife. She's an Ayurvedic health counselor and she's a budding astrologer dwelling at the intersection of the five bodies: physical, mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual. So Kara and I have been on a really beautiful path over this last year. We've known each other on social media and have always kind of exchanged just really sweet messages. And a few months back, Kara reached out, I think it was right before or right after she came into the Sanctuary of She community. And she was like, Katie, I really want to read your chart to you. Like, can I share your astrology chart to you? And I'd have never had my chart really read before. And I was like, sure, let's see what this is about. Because you guys, I don't know astrology very well. There's been definitely times throughout my life where it's really supported me through moments, big moments and tough moments. And just kind of like, I deeply believe that there is so much to be learned and experienced from astrology, but I don't know it very well. So I get on and Kara and I have this call and I'm just like jaw dropped the whole time because not only the information that she's telling me, is it so potent and activating and just makes everything make sense, but the way specifically Kara delivers this, the words that she uses and the ways that she takes these big concepts and just lands it into a very digestible conversation was so potent. So it was really soon after that that I asked Kara to be our in-house astrologer for the Sanctuary of She community. And every single month in there, Kara gives us an astrology forecast for the upcoming month, meant to just support us in the compounds that we're going through, just so that you can kind of know what's going on and take what you love and leave what you don't and infuse it into everything you're bringing to life, just to kind of give you a heads up of everything going on. And it's been so fun. We have those come out every single month and everyone loves them in there. And so we were kind of chatting and we were coming up on this idea of having a conversation about how to like take this to a bigger realm of like an entire quarter one of 2024 conversation. And so we were kind of going back and forth. We were like, should we do it in the community? How should we do it? And then I was like, why don't you just come on the podcast? And then in the community or not in the community, everyone can have access to this information and experience the way that you deliver this. And also, if you're in the community, this is going to be followed up with an even deeper kind of training, deeper conversation, and bringing in some somatic pieces to all of this to really ground it in for your quarter one. And that's going to be happening in the community on February 25th. So mark your calendars. But for this conversation, we are going to dive in to so many of these pieces. So, Kara, I guess the first question, kind of just a great way to open this up, is how did astrology find you? What's kind of your story that has led you into being someone who loves using this technology for your life?
Thank you for that very loaded question.
Always.
So I'm going to start, and I think so many of us in this space and these listeners are going to resonate with this, but I grew up in a very masculine structure in that very heady space of this is the plan, one step, two step, you follow the plan. And I was a dental hygienist, so I went to college, lost my mind doing that, and then worked as a dental hygienist. And I always knew I wanted something just a little bit bigger, had no language around spirituality at that time that felt like my own. And my husband and I had decided, boyfriend at the time, to backpack the world. So we took off, left for a year, and did all the fun, wild, amazing, hard things, and got home and didn't quite fit back into our old lives. I felt like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. And then I started developing community outside of my physical community, like podcasts and different books and that sort of thing. And then it led me to explore. And I would love to tell you that I was super brave and I up and left hygiene because I was courageous. But I actually had nerve damage in my right arm. And it was Saturn, let's say, kicking my ass to change directions and get me back on an aligned path. And I chose at that time in my life to begin studying integrative nutrition. And that led to Ayurvedic health counseling. And while I was on my trip, I should mention, I took my first yoga teacher training in Nepal, and it was so juicy and like an opening door. So, yeah, I started studying Ayurveda, and then that is such an elemental system. And then we got into astrology, and that's an elemental perspective as well, right? So here I am. And it's been really from that masculine place of, make the decision and follow through no matter how many years this takes you. Don't check in with how it feels. Very, very disconnected place in all the realms, whether that's looking at, how I was showing up in the gym with a punishing energy, not a loving one, how I was fueling my body, had no pleasure practice, had no way of connecting to that part of me until I was on this journey of really softening. And I will forever be grateful for an injury that was so frustrating initially, because now here I am.
Yeah, isn't it funny how that works? Everything's always happening for us. So, okay, what is it about astrology? For anyone listening who's kind of like me and they're kind of familiar with it, but don't really know much about it and, don't have a tendency to love like looking at the daily horoscopes or whatever, but like, what really is it about astrology that opened such a piece of you where you're like, wow, there is something here. And what is kind of the perspective that you personally take astrology with in the unfolding of your own evolution?
Oh, it is honestly the most compassionate and permissive lens through which to see yourself. It is, you just start to understand all the experiences that you had, all the pain that you felt, all of the things. You just understand why you are the way that you are. And astrology is not a cause. You are not the cause of astrology. Astrology is not the cause of you. It is a reflection. It's a divine mirror. So you get to see yourself in this really loving, accepting way. And there's something in astrology called your Saturn return that happens around your 28th to 30th year. And really, it's almost like you don't get to write your story before your Saturn return. And then you go through this kick in the butt, and now you are the author of your own story and you get to make decisions. So I guess it kind of segues into the perspective that we're looking at astrology through, which is evolutionary astrology. And that comes at us with the understanding that your soul chooses absolutely every single aspect of who you are, and thus your chart, right? So, from your physical body to the tendencies you have, to the ways you react or speak or view the world, to whether or not you can find words when you speak, or if you're someone that's a little bit more abstract, right? There's all these different things that can be reflected in your chart. So, it's your soul chooses everything, your karmic lessons that you're here to learn, and the things that you're here to digest. And then you get to mix in a little bit of personal or a lot of personal power and free will, right? You get to co-create.
Yeah, I think that. So my Saturn return absolutely freaking rocked me, like obliterated me. And thank gosh for it now, looking back, because so much good came out of how hard it was. But that few year period, that's when I started really being like, okay, astrology, there is something here because this Saturn return is real. And I think we had our, you gave me my reading like right on the end of my Saturn return. I think I had just come out. And I remember just listening, being like, oh my God, everything makes sense. Like, how does she know all these things about me? How does she know all these pieces that came together through this? And it's in the chart. And what a beautiful thought it is that, there's an element to it where it is all happening for us. And we are here to live these karmic lessons. And I know we've talked about before, using astrology as a way to turn our pain into power, to allow it to all mean something at the end of the day.
You do not have to run from the hard lessons. I feel like that is the difference between, the maiden and the matriarch. Don't be afraid of what's coming for you because you always have you. And it's funny, I have your chart pulled up right in front of me. And I know I said this to you in your reading, but your chart is literally stacked. So everything is kind of together. So you honestly, for like an 8 year period at least, or longer, have just been getting these lessons in maturity. And it's like one after the other after the other. And I almost want to say, take this with a grain of salt, that things are going to feel really light after this. Like you're writing your own story, leaps and bounds, like really sit in the gratitude. It's almost like something's been unlocked. I feel like that's going to be the feeling for you. But your Saturn is in this place of Aquarius, and we will get there because it's in this year's quarter. But yeah, it's all about like standing up and really being yourself. And that is so much easier said than done when you are raised in a world with so many interjections. You've got programs from this and that and the other person, societal, familial, going to school, all these ways of being. And they kind of keep you in a box and they keep you small until you start to unbecome and just strip them away, right? And then yeah, some of the hardest ones are the people that are closest to us, right?
Yes, absolutely. What would you, I mean, well, first, I just totally feel that lightness that you're talking about. It is actually a visceral, tangible, whoa energy. My podcast episode, not the last one, but the one before, is literally called My Quantum January. And in it, I don't even know if I'm making sense because I'm just excited and I'm just like, everything is here all at once. Like everything that I've been wanting and working towards, it's just here. And it's like, I'm just on this ride of fun. It just feels like so. That's so funny you say that. What would you say for people who are newer to astrology? Like, what are the top most impactful, simple things to know about your own chart that everyone could easily find out about themselves? And then maybe what in my chart are those for me?
So I would first say have a very open mind because you are speaking to someone that was very much like science-based, needed evidence, all the things. And now here I am just lit up about this system of astrology. So it's really fun to start diving into your sun, your moon, and your soul sign. That's usually what a lot of astrologers will tell you. But keep in mind that you are your whole chart, and your sun and your moon and your rising sign, which is your soul sign or the energy that you're meant to grow into, they play with other aspects in your chart. But for the purpose of keeping it simple, your sun is very tied to your personality. It's how you shine. It's the way that your energy projects outwards into the world. And it's also very intimately tied to your purpose, right? And your chart, if you've never seen an astrology chart, it can be really confusing, but it's circular and there's a line across the middle that divides the top and the half. That's the horizon at the time that you were born. And there's a little circle in the middle, and that's where you were when you were born. Whether that's a hospital bed or your living room floor. And yeah, so you'll see the planets that are above that line or above the horizon and whatnot. But Your sun is a little circle with a smaller circle inside of it. And then your moon looks like a moon. That's an obvious one. And your moon is your emotional body. It's the way that you react without thinking. It's instinctual and it's so subconscious. And if you've been listening to Katie for a while, you'll know that most of who you are is subconscious. You're basically an iceberg, and only 5% of you is conscious. So your emotional body and your moon is a very powerful piece to start working with. And then, of course, you have your soul sign, and that is so beautiful. And when you start to learn about your soul sign, you might be like, "Ugh, this is a really big missing piece." It's the energy that you are rising into over the course of your life. It's also the portal through which people first see you. So let's say you're like a fiery Aries sign and you're courageous and you kind of do things without thinking sometimes and you're the life of the party, but people don't see you like that because your soul sign is something in water and you're very intuitive and emotional and you know, they meet you first through your soul. And then they get to know your personality a little bit more. And then, does that kind of make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. And I've heard of these, to be honest with you. I'm not even sure. I think my sun's Capricorn. I think my moon's Gemini. And I think my rising is Sagittarius.
You got that backwards a little bit. Your sun is absolutely Capricorn, my friend. You have three planets in Capricorn, which we can touch on. Your moon is Sagittarius, and that's also your emotional needs. And Sagittarius is this really beautiful sign of the adventurer. You like different cultures and going places and far off travel. And Sagittarius is also, drum roll please, the philosopher, the person that asks questions because they are in search of the ultimate truth. And naturally, when you start to ask questions, yes, you, my dear, you get to the place where your questions get bigger and bigger and more profound until you're creating systems to make the intangible tangible and running the sanctuary of she. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. I love it. Do you guys hear how fabulous this woman is? You just like, oh, the way you put this into words, Kara, I just can't get enough of it. So, okay, before we go into kind of like a quarterly review of what to expect for these first 3 months of the year, and I know we're doing this in February, but we're gonna bring it all together in a way that's gonna make a lot of sense. But before we do, is there anything from my chart? I feel like I'm standing here naked on this podcast that you just want to like call to the surface.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, for my ladies who are already in the sanctuary, this is going to make so much sense. And if you're tiptoeing around the sanctuary, this is going to make so much sense. And it's probably going to be like, hey, come in. But your sun sign, which is your personality, how you shine, the way that you share your energy outwards, is in the sign of Capricorn, together with Uranus, which is like the rebel, the revolutionary, the person that's future thinking and drawing in new ways of being, calling in the new earth, if you want to say that. And you're also there with Neptune, which is like the dreamer, the ethereal, the connection to other realms, other ways of being, all this like really yummy stuff. It's in the house of like deep excavation and taboo and healing and digging at the stuff that we don't talk about as a culture, right? Let's talk like death and rebirth. That's a really beautiful energy. And all of those three are hanging out like they're best friends at the playground and they always go everywhere together and they're in the sign of Capricorn. So they're building an empire in this lifetime, but an empire that's like weird and wonderful and different and new. And you also have this cute little North Node symbol in your Capricorn place too, which is not the same as Saturn. Saturn will come in and kick your ass whether or not you want it. But this North Node placement is more of like a best friend coming to your door, like, knock, knock, are you coming? Accept this invitation. And the invitation is in the energy of Capricorn, which is, and we'll get more into this in the quarterly, but it's one foot in front of the other, no matter what, just do it energy. I got me. That's the North Node, like the sign and the recipe there. So you in this lifetime are meant to have huge Capricorn themes. And as we dive into that in the quarterly review, you're going to be like, yes, so yummy. And then the last thing I just wanted to touch on was your soul being in Gemini. And Gemini is the opposite of Sagittarius, where Sagittarius wants like the ultimate one big truth. Gemini's like, let me get my fingers in all of the pies. I want to know everything. Let me be sociable. Let me use my voice, right? Let me express. And yeah, so it's all coming together to make this really juicy puzzle of who Katie is.
I'm so glad we touched on that for a second, because even though everyone listening to this, like all of our charts are different and unique to us, like just receiving that and hearing that, it is so, for someone who really doesn't know much about this stuff, and I'm learning through you, but what you said in the beginning, it gets to be this like peace that comes over you because it's just a mirror. It's mirroring back to you. And being in this place of such grounded sturdiness, like I know my path, I know my vision. It took a lot to get here, but like I know exactly, I don't know where it's going or how it's all going to look or anything like that, but I know and I'm confident in the exact path that I'm walking. And to hear you just reflect that back, it's just like this, oh yeah, here we are. But even a couple of years ago, when I was in this place of like confusion and feeling really lost, and you know, like being able to get reflected back at that time, yeah, you're in it. And this is what you're moving through. And these are the planets sending you the messages of helping you get clarity in these areas. And it really is like, I don't know, it's so fascinating to me. It's such a like a an affirmation and a, yeah, just like a surrender and a peace of being like, we are not alone. We're not all in this alone. And as we know in this podcast and in the Sanctuary of She community, like this is all about energetics, working with the unseen and knowing that there's an intelligence there, knowing that it's all working together. And so of course the energy coming from so many of the things that we see in the sky is intelligent as well.
And it's comforting. It's so comforting. And if you're going through a tough time and your chart can give you this medicine, like, hey, this is a season, trust that it will be over. Isn't that like, okay, I'll just sit back. I'll keep paddling hard through the waves. This is fine. I know I have an end point. It's so comforting.
What are your thoughts on, this is just a random question that's popping into my mind. What are your thoughts on the type of astrology that also can be a little bit like, if someone's like, when am I going to meet my soulmate? What, like, because I have this aversion to psychics, but I also know that sometimes astrology, like people can seek astrology for those things. What are your thoughts on when you view it like that versus when you're viewing it as a cosmic mirror to help you enhance the moment you're at right now?
Okay. I love that you asked this because I was kind of thinking around along the same lines today of like astrology in regards to predictions. So two things. First thing, I will give you the name of my medium girlfriend and you can change your relationship to that. She's wild. And second thing, so you know how you said we're recording this in February, so it's kind of the middle of this quarter. I personally find so much power in astrology being retrospective and reflective,
I love that.
as well as what we're currently going through. And this is not a field that I'm familiar enough with to help other people with, but you absolutely can look to astrology to see like moments in your life where it might be beneficial or it might be more advantageous or what have you. But, and this is speaking through my own personal experience, please, you know, listen with your own intuition. But if you so desperately want something, as long as the energy behind it is wanting, it's not going to come to you. It needs to. I know that's like the worst thing ever to hear when you so badly want something. But if I could just give one piece of unsolicited advice, it would be just have compassion and grace and softness for yourself while you're working through the hard things. If it's relationship specifically that you're seeking, what from the relationship do you want? Like, get curious and start to create a million questions out of that one question. When will my relationship come? When will the perfect job come? When will I finally make this money? What out of that do you want? And then start to embody the energy that you think that thing's going to give you. And I think you touched on this in an episode, Katie, and it was so beautiful. And it was something along the lines of, so long as you are wanting, you are not having. But if you can know that you have this desire and this desire exists within you, but then also live mostly in gratitude and embodying that gratitude and what you already have, I promise that thing's going to come. Everybody has their one big lesson in this life that just feels hard. Whether it's when will the career happen? When will I finally feel peace with my mother? When will I meet my loved one? When will I have a baby? Everybody has the thing that they so desperately want. That's a really big lesson. And we live in a culture that's so used to instant gratification. So I'll leave it there.
I mean, you just intertwined the energetics and quantum aspect of that question with astrology, which is so perfect for this podcast. You know, when we, so long as we're sitting there asking how is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? We're not in a place to be a match for it. It's like surrendering that question and coming into the fullness of right now. The tagline of Sanctuary of She is the portal to it all is today. And so using astrology as this divine mirror to do check-ins of the intelligence going on around us in this quantum space, in this astrological space, allows us to find that place in the now of the peace, so that we can be on the path of receiving.
Absolutely. And yeah, there's something in your chart also called your Chiron, and it's a little asteroid, and that's the wounded healer. So yeah, really sitting with all of the pieces and understanding yourself more. And that's really all it is a tool for self-awareness. So you can start to practice these systems that you're putting in place. And it's giving you more pieces to work with, essentially.
Yeah, a tool for self-awareness. This is why I've brought Kara in as our in-house astrologer in Sanctuary of She, because when you're using astrology through the way that she brings it, it really is a tool for self-awareness that enhances the present moment. And it's just so beautiful. And like, this is the vibe in Sanctuary of She. Let me just tell you, like, these epic conversations, like this work that we do in there together, like, all the women in there, this is how we talk. Like, it's just so freaking top notch. And I'm just so happy to have you in here and like be bouncing this around on the podcast. It's so fun.
I'm dancing over here. You can't see me, but I'm like nodding and dancing as you're speaking. So
I love it. Okay, I have one more tiny question and then I want to get into the quarterly review. This has just always been a question that I've had is why is it that it's the moment you exit the womb that determines your chart versus like the moment you were conceived or the moment that your brain developed in the womb, or like what is it about coming earthside that really kind of stamps this blueprint on you?
Okay. I have nothing behind me to say that this is what I've studied or this is what astrology says. This is literally my own personal opinion. But your chart is a reflection of this human incarnation. And that's why I think it's the moment that you come earthside, the moment that you're
Makes
in a
sense.
human body.
That makes sense.
That's all I have there for you. However, if I ever come across anything that can shed a little more light on that, I'm absolutely happy to share
I
it with
know, and
you.
I know that's a big question. I don't know if anyone actually knows the answer to that. It's just always been something where I'm like, this is so interesting. But it's like spot on. You look at your chart and you're like, oh, yep, that's me. There I am. Hello. You know? Okay,
Absolutely.
let's move into quarterly review, January, February, March of 2024. What are some of the big things going on, Kara?
Okay. Let me take a breath here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so remember that I am a human interpreting the cosmos. This will in no way be all-encompassing. And if you're curious about astrology and what's going on in life, I really encourage you to learn from more than one person, right? It's like going to a yoga class. There's so many different teachers. There's so many different ways of describing this. So find that, little bit of curiosity and follow it if this is for you. So with that being said, these are really big, beautiful energies and archetypes that show up in so many different ways for each and every one of us. And I'm gonna add a little bit of an eagle eye layer to this. So stepping back, I want to talk about Capricorn. And Capricorn is the energy, like I said before, of one foot in front of the other. It's represented by the sea goat. So this creature that walks from the bottom of the sea to the top of the highest mountain and does not need to see where it's going. It's the no matter what energy, one step at a time. It's a masculine energy of creating the structures and the frameworks that you need to build. It's the intelligence of building. It's the CEO. And for a moment, I just want to say, when we hear that word CEO, we think of, this white guy in a nice suit on Wall Street. And that version of CEO is very much dying. We get to rebirth what a CEO means. And we're seeing examples of the matriarchal CEO nowadays, and it's beautiful, and that's going to become even more of a thing. So, Capricorn being in the middle of two calendar years, it has this natural piece of reflection, as well as where the heck am I going? And one of my favorite astrologers, Britton LaRue, shout out homegirl, she doesn't know I exist, but hey, she says that Capricorn is the energy of the guiding light. It's there for us in the dead of winter when things feel hard, the season is cold and wet and stagnant, and right, it's holding it all together when things don't feel like you're in the summer and you've got all the fruit around you, the fruit of your labors, right? You don't necessarily know how things are going to play out. It's a trust. So it is that guiding light. And this is a really yummy part. When I heard it, I was just like, ooh, and I was really excited to share it with you, Katie, because Capricorn rules the bones. Like I said, it is that structure. And oftentimes, because it is all about structure, it gets this rap that it's dry. And I just want to introduce this concept that the bones have marrow. There's so much juiciness, and you get to build this container that holds all of it. So if Capricorn is the container, you get to infuse it. And it's holding all of this juicy, flowing energy, all your ideas, your creativity, your essence, everything else you want to bring forth and birth into the world. Capricorn's holding you through it. So, how does that land for you? Is that like, ooh.
Yeah, it's just such a beautiful way to start the year, you know? Like, I'm not surprised at all that January and the energy of Capricorn is the way that we start a new year, even though seasonally, you new year doesn't really begin till like March or April, but energetically, it just seems so like the energy of Capricorn is such a beautiful way to hold January.
It really is. And if you're very new to the zodiac seasons of the year, all we're really talking about is that the sun is passing through that zodiac sign at that time. So the sun, being this energy that lights everything up, is passing through the energy of Capricorn.
I see.
And right? So you might have been sitting back, full of all these ideas for the year, wanting the bigness, envisioning the enormity, right? And kind of lit up and fueled by the energy of like, I want to do this, that, and the other thing for my business. And I say business because Capricorn does, rule that place in our life of our career, our reputation, who we are outside the home. Yeah. And I'm curious, I actually have a question for you, Katie.
Oh, yes.
Because you have so much energy in Capricorn, but you also have your invitation in Capricorn. Your invitation, your North Node is what I'm speaking about here. It's often an unfamiliar and an uncomfortable energy. It's a new energy for this particular incarnation. So I just want to add a little, this is the eagle eye view layer that I was kind of bringing in earlier. Pluto, the planet of power and death and rebirth and the lord of the underworld, was passing through Capricorn for 14 years, 15 years, sorry, since 2008. So when Pluto first entered Capricorn, it was in 2008 during the stock market crash. And then essentially what Pluto does in a given sign, and he's such a faraway planet that it takes him a really long time to orbit the sun. So he gets to be in a sign for anywhere from 14 to 20 years. That's why this is so freaking huge. And that's also why we are seeing sort of the death and the dying of the old ways of embodying power. Power is really starting to be redefined. And it's not a power over anymore. It's a power with. Like, we are changing that. So that energy mix, so the death and rebirth energy mixing with the structures and the systems on a larger scale, our structures and our systems are societal, right? They are institutional, industry, that sort of stuff. And wherever your mind is going is the message that you're absolutely meant to hear as you're hearing this. So the old ways of being are dying, and now Pluto's moving into Aquarius. So I'm going to pause there and just say, does that bring up Capricorn questions for you?
I mean, it brings about a Capricorn lightness because this the Pluto the transit happened like 2 weeks ago, yeah?
On the 20th, with the sun at the same time.
Yeah, okay. Because I remember like seeing everyone talk about this. I posted a couple things to my story and I was like, I literally feel like the Capricorn energy in me just like collapsed on the couch, like, oh. Like it viscerally felt like something was shifting as that moved out. And I don't know, it honestly feels like an exciting thing. As you were saying in the beginning, like this time is such a lightness for me. And the podcast I did a couple of weeks ago, like I just feel it all around. So there's no Capricorn questions, but it's just like a, oh yeah, this is great. I do have a question for you though that I want to insert. What is the difference when we're hearing about all of these things? So we're talking about Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces as the first three signs in quarter one of 2024. What is the difference when you're hearing these things between if you actually are someone who has a Capricorn placement versus you don't have a Capricorn placement, but you were just in the energy of Capricorn season?
That's a really, really wonderful question. So, everybody has all of the signs in their chart. If you do not have a planet or an asteroid or some other player in a particular sign in your chart, you're still impacted by that energy. It's just a little less potent.
Okay.
So, for you, when you said, I collapsed on the couch and was like, woo, something feels better. You've got so much Capricorn energy, and you've got Neptune in your Capricorn, which is a little bit more intuitive, connected to energy, other realms, that sort of thing. No wonder. No wonder it felt like that for you. And I'll also add, death and dying and decay brings fertilizer. So Pluto's done its work with the death and the dying. Keep in mind, he's going to pop back in just to make sure you learned your lessons later this year. But you know, that work is sort of done, and it's going to bring fertilizer now. So yeah, it gets to be yummy. And for anyone listening, you can always check out your own chart. You can go to astro.com, pull up a free chart. You have to plug in your information for sure, your birth date, time, and place. And you get to see these different energies in your own chart. And if it's confusing, just zone in on the Capricorn symbol and look at the house number. And the house are those little pieces of, they look like a little pie and they're not equal. So somebody gets a skinny piece of pie and someone gets a bigger piece of pie. But anyway, you look to the house number and that's the area of your life. That's all that means. So the zodiac signs are the energy, and the numbers of the houses are the area of your life. And you, Katie, like death and rebirth is the house that Capricorn rules, and healing and deep diving. And, you know, it's very potent, super powerful. Like also how you view and feel power and embody power. It's just gone through all of that and basically revamped everything. Lots of excavation. So no wonder there gets to be this lightness now.
Wow. This is just so great. And for anyone listening who's like, okay, this is really cool. And there's a lot of new words and a lot of things, and I can't see it in front of me. Again, I want to remind you on February 25th, Kara's going to be on video in the community taking this deeper. So if you have questions or you want to lean into this, that's happening and you should definitely come be a part of it. I also just want to insert that I love that my dog's name is Neptune. Because how perfect is that? That Neptune's with my Capricorn. That's just so amazing. Okay, but coming back to big picture. So we've just been in this energy of Capricorn in January, really cultivating the CEO energy and the power. And then Pluto, for the first time in years since 2008, left Capricorn and has gone into Aquarius. What does this mean? And what is now the energy of Aquarius bringing in quarter one?
Okay, so essentially we are shaking things up. So I want to talk about Aquarius so that we understand what's coming for us. In regards to Pluto leaving Capricorn, something needs to die if it's not dead already. So whatever's not working for you, you gotta let it go and you gotta move on to what is working for you. And the hint that's coming in for me right now is like, it's not all about your head. It's not all about what your intelligence is telling you. Start to tap into the wisdom of your body and let yourself be led by how things feel. That will never lead you astray. And also, side note, it's very rarely convenient to follow that inner wisdom. So I see you, I hear you. I'm so holding space for the enormity and how scary that is, but that is the way. And then with it moving into Capricorn, that essentially was a Cap, or sorry, Aquarius, that essentially is an Aquarius like statement. Aquarius is the energy of like the fringy weirdo that honestly does not care to fit in. And it's not like rebuffing society because they're so injured and so, done being bullied that they're like, I don't need you. It's not that at all. It's this embodiment of every single one of us is so unique and so necessary that it is time to stop caring about labels and external validation. Aquarius needs you to know that you are important enough to do whatever it is that you want to do. You know enough, you are enough, and every single piece of you and every single one of you, listening or not, Aquarian is a humanitarian. They're here for the collective. They don't give a shit about petty. They care about where we're going and our evolution. And I kind of have this like funny analogy or concept that I always see it as in my head. I don't know why. But imagine that we are collectively playing a game, and we've all agreed that these are the rules of the game, and this is the objective of the game, and we're all headed in the same direction, and that direction is our evolution. And we can't all possibly fit on the same line, but we're all moving in that direction, and some of us are further ahead, and they're reaching back to pull us forward, and so have you, right? It goes further and further back, but we all know that we're heading in the same direction. Aquarius sort of knows that. No one's really telling that in their, telling them that consciously in this human experience, but they come in kind of knowing that. And yeah, we're all going in the same direction. We're all super necessary. And Aquarius really, really values honesty. So there is a certain level of emotional detachment and objectivity that naturally comes with an Aquarian so that they can stay honest. Because a lot of times our emotions can sway us and they are subjective and they skew the way that we see things because emotions are big and they have, we need to give them their space. That's a whole nother conversation. But Aquarian values honesty and authenticity and therefore will stay a little bit objective. Also, because of that honest need, they are the revolutionary. They are the rebel. They will stand up for injustice, right? They're ready for change. They They're quirky and they have beautiful ideas and they are future focused because they know there's better. It's a big energy coming in, and the death and rebirth is going, planet of death and rebirth is going through that for the next 20 years. So Pluto's in Aquarius until 2042. So you can bet that we will see changes in the way that people express themselves. And Pluto's kind of been dipped in last year into Aquarius and then went back into Capricorn. And it's interesting now because on the grand stage of the world, we see a lot of people doing a lot of really weird things and hoping that the rest of the world will conform to the way that they want to be seen or called or whatever. By the end of Pluto in Aquarius, those people won't care about labels. They'll just be happy doing their thing, dressing however they want to dress. It's
Oh
about shedding that need for external validation.
my gosh, that's lit me up. Did a little shimmy over here. I love
Yeah.
that. I love that. So for people like me who don't specifically have placements in Aquarius, we're still all experiencing the energy of this in this Aquarius season. But if you do have a placement in Aquarius when you look up your chart, then this is extra amplified for you right now. And you get to use this as a divine mirror for helping you find peace and clarity and endurance in this present moment.
True, and Pluto being an outer planet is typically more concerned with the collective anyway. You won't feel Pluto's influence as significantly as you would a planet that's closer, like the sun or the moon, for example. But when Pluto entered Aquarius on the 20th, he was conjunct the sun, so like besties with the sunshine. They held hands into Aquarius. So it made that transition feel even more personal. And I would even ask everyone listening to reflect on any sort of power dynamic that was going on at that time. And it didn't have to be on the 20th, it could have been a little bit before, a little bit after. But what sort of power struggles or a sense of breaking free and just being like yourself, what sort of power shifts were happening around that time for you? I would definitely look at that because the sun made it super personal.
Wow. Ooh, I love it, Kara. Okay, so we've gone into Capricorn, we've gone into Aquarius. Now tell us what's coming up in Pisces.
Okay, so there is one last thing I want to
Yes.
say that segues sort of into this. And Aquarius is about freedom and not someone giving you your freedom. It is the truest kind of freedom, which comes from within. And I hope that that is something that you can chew on forever and ever and ever, because it will shift and evolve with you as you do.
I love that.
So I'll leave that there for Aquarius season. And I actually had a very potent Pisces influence for a 2.5 year cycle at the same time that I went through my Saturn return. And if that doesn't make any sense, don't worry about it. You'll get the message that you're meant to. But I wrote a poem and I would love to share it with you if you're okay with that.
What a treat. Yes.
Okay, so this poem came through me a few years ago and I had it stored. And when we talked about doing the quarterly review, I thought of it. So I wanted to bring it to this space.
I love it.
So I'm going to take a breath here. It's called When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Wordsmith. So, when I grow up, I want to be a wordsmith, for the power of language is real. Rumi said, "The wound is the place where the light enters you." He peeked behind the curtain, you see, and brought back with him whispered knowings, a wisdom that there is a YOU shaped hole in the divine fabric that holds you. But wrapped in your custom delusions, you cannot see through the warped and twisted internal delusions. The wisdom told us to remember that we are here to process what the collective cannot. The exact part of the wound designed for you, tailored by karma. She only asks, will you metabolize it? Transform it. The power of language is real, and yet these words will pass like ether over those who cannot hear, intangible, elusive. empty except to those who feel the twinge deep in their belly, the nudge subtle yet profound. The wisdom told us to remember the power of language is real. So that's it.
Oh my gosh, Kara, I have goosebumps. That was so beautiful. Can we
Thank
just take a
you.
moment for that? Like, that was gorgeous. Like, I think everyone agrees with me now that you just have a freaking way with words. That was so beautiful. Okay, can we just like put a little blip out into the universe right now that Kara will have a poetry book one day? Because please, yes, please. An astrology poetry book. Oh my God. Yes.
Yes. Ooh,
Wow.
thank you. Okay.
Oh
We'll
my
take that and run
word.
with it.
Yes. This is so beautiful. Okay. Tell us about Pisces.
I love that. Okay. So the piece of that poem that I kind of want to dive into is Pisces. And I'm just going to say right now, Pisces is not something I feel I will ever do justice to explaining. Okay. It is something else. So Pisces is all about the collective. It is the ending and the beginning of the zodiac. It's a water sign that wants to dissolve boundaries. It's boundaryless, okay? It rules the unseen and the intangible and the other realms, the all that is. And whether you call it the universe, spirit, angels, my friend calls it the great sky daddy, whatever your word is for that thing that is bigger than us, that connects all of us, Pisces is there. There's also, because we chose, all of us, to incarnate at a time where humanity is experiencing a lot of heaviness. And I'm aware that there's been a lot of heaviness for a lot of years, a long time. But I am of the belief that we are headed to lighter times. But because that we chose to incarnate at a time where we are here really letting go of the old ways, there's a lot that's leaving the collective consciousness, fear, scarcity, lack, so much pain. People that have really strong Pisces placements are sort of melancholy. And I think that it's such a beautiful thing to know that what you're carrying and what you're metabolizing isn't all yours.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with you. Right? I think that's so important to know. When you are someone that is boundaryless and it's almost like you're a naked wire walking through life, and we are not raised with the awareness around energetic hygiene or giving our emotional body space to be what it needs to be and to feel and to hold everything it needs to hold. We are raised with, you know, like clean diaper, you're fed, you're fine, this is that, right? Like, and this is the two truths. You absolutely deserve to have someone that held your hand while you learned how to process your emotions. But we also come from a family that, you know, they didn't know how that either, right? Not that long ago, our grandparents were in World War II. And their generation was about survival. And our parents' generation was about Capricorn, let's make money,
right.
have the same job forever, right? Don't change. Why would you switch that up? That's like panic in their whole system, right? I remember leaving hygiene and my dad being like, you're nuts. Didn't say that to me, but I knew he thought it. But yeah, it's a lot to hold when you've got strong Pisces placements, and also thank you for processing that which is not yours and doing such a wonderful job for the collective. So any Pisces listeners.
I mean, that's just such a deep thought, like that part of your poem where it's something along the lines of this, the piece of you in the womb, in the wound. This is your piece to metabolize. Like, that is just, oh, it's all connected. And it's also beautiful when you look at it like that. What is, okay, so Pisces and the Pisces energy is really about, you know, metabolizing this and holding it for the collective and being with it. What is the power that comes for the Pisces?
Oh my goodness. If you can honor that part of yourself, and if you can titrate the heaviness, right? So instead of like going into a deep, dark depression, because this is the shadow side of Pisces, right? I know you asked the power, but the shadow side is disassociation, right? That's where we fall into like getting obsessed with going to the gym or always reading a fantasy novel or getting into the realm of drugs and alcohol and what have you. And like, it's hard to be a human. So we get it. But the power, if you can titrate the pain and just give it a little bit of space at a time, you are the dreamers, right? These are the people who can see a new reality. These are the people who are bringing art and beauty to the world. These are the singers, and these are the people that think in ways that are more abstract. And some people have a, you know, like for me, my Mercury and Mercury rules communication is in fire. Can you tell? It's like fast and sharp and intense a little bit. So if you've got, you know, if your mind is in a sign of water and in the sign of Pisces in particular, which is like the dreamer head in the clouds kind of thing, you might not be someone that has access to words in the same way that someone else does. You might think abstractly and dance and get your message out into the world in some other form. And it's okay. That's like, it's beautiful to give yourself permission to be who you are. And if you knew that about yourself, you wouldn't be so hung up on the third grade teacher that told you were shitty because you couldn't spell XYZ. You know what I mean?
I mean, these are just so, I love how you're breathing life into each sign in this way. Just like, you know, it's so easy to just be like, oh yeah, Capricorn's the entrepreneurial type, Pisces is the emotional, like whatever it is, you know, and like you're breathing these into beings right before our eyes. And it's just so special when we can look at these three side by side by side as we're in quarter one of this year, and use these energies as a self-awareness tool to support us on our own path, knowing what is available, knowing what is present, knowing what is alive in the grand intelligence of it all, and using that mirror to activate our own happenings and our own evolution for this quarter.
So yummy.
It really is. Okay, so from a bird's eye glance, then. Quarter one, we have Capricorn. So, kind of your go-getter CEO attitude and whatever that looks like in your realm of who you are outside of the house. We have Aquarian, your thought leader, the piece of you that leans into doing what's best for all, being that humanitarian, being that person that's going to hold down the direction, even if not everyone's there yet. And then we've got Pisces, the piece of you who's here to metabolize and work through and regulate everything that's coming through, and using that to really step into your power to be the visionary that you're here to be. Did I get that right?
Yeah, and I'll just add two little pieces. Like the Aquarian is, you do not need permission to be your weird little self. Just be you. And the Pisces piece is like, check in with your dreams. You know, are you in your head? Are you still following the goal that you had 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago? Like, check in with your dreams and your desires and make sure that they still feel good for you. And if they don't, you know, I'm not telling you how to live your life, but that might be a really strong indicator that it's time to reassess.
Okay, I love this. That was beautiful. The last question that I have for you, for someone who's going to go to, what's the website again to get their free chart?
Astro.com.
Astro.com, and you want to look at your free chart to see what placements you have. What do you specifically mean by placements? So we each have
Okay.
all of the signs, but what do you mean when you say if you have an Aquarius placement or something like that?
Okay. So I'm going to back this up a little bit and keep it concise for you. Astrology is an observational science based on mathematical waves of probability. Okay. So it's very much related to astronomy. The zodiac signs, when we talk about those, like if you go on Pinterest and you look up Aries constellation, you will see this beautiful grouping of stars. The constellations are the zodiac signs. They're an energy, right? And they are the backdrop through which the planets pass over. So when I'm talking about your chart and what it looks like in the night sky, I'm literally talking about this is what your chart looked like at the time that you were born. This is what the sky looked like, right? So you can think about the planets as if they are the teacher through which the lesson is coming through, and the lesson is the zodiac, that's the flavor. And then the little piece of pie charts is the area of your life. So it's kind of like making a recipe and throwing all the ingredients together and then reading the recipe. So what I mean by placements is everybody has all 10 planets in their chart. It's just where are the planets? Does a planet land in a particular zodiac sign, and where, what number or house is it in? That will be the area of your life. And you honestly, online, Aquarian Age, Aquarius Rules Technology, there's so much out there right now. You can look that up and start to glean, like, you know, what does this mean? And figure out if that feels true for you, right? One of my favorite astrologers says, listen through the lens of your own intuition, take what works and leave the rest, because there's so much to astrology that sometimes a little bit of information can be misleading. So trust your instincts, trust your gut. And I'm talking to the people that are willing to be brutally honest with themselves, not the ones that want to bypass, but trust yourself. I don't think those people are here, but you know what I mean? So you'll see what your placements are and what they mean and get curious. And yeah, it's a lifelong thing. I'm only a few years into my journey of learning astrology. So if I can understand some of these big concepts, you can too, and just keep learning. There's so much information out there.
Oh my gosh, Tara, thank you so much. This has been such a treat. So grateful for you coming on here and sharing that with us. If you want to get access to Kara's monthly astrology forecasts for us, they're so great because she takes these big concepts and she provides a mirror for you for each passing month, for each passing zodiac season. And so it's also a really great way to learn. So each passing month, I've been learning through these forecasts that she puts out. So you can get those in the community. Again, February 25th, she's going to be guiding this conversation into a deeper way if you have any questions. And yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes to all of her links. And Kara, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, and for honestly, like, the courage that you have to show up and do what you do in the world, because we wouldn't be here if you didn't. So thank you.
Thank you, Kara.